The winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 4417 90. You can send us a WhatsApp at 253-4679 or an email at cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought to you in association with our very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture.
Attention, attention, Express Cash, the Barbados Lottery's fastest game in town, now has an even bigger rollover jackpot. The rollover jackpot is now over $261,500. That's right, $261,500. It's so easy to play Express Cash. Visit your local lottery agent and ask for a quick pick ticket or fill out a slip to play your favorite numbers. So play Express Cash, the fastest game in town, drawing every 5 minutes at Barbados Lottery Agents Islandwide.
All right, well, there was a lot of speculation during the week that many of our top players said, no, we're not going to Bangladesh. And in fact, it was confirmed by the president of Cricket West Indies in an interview with our friends at The Nation. And by the way, The Nation doing a wonderful job there. Thanks to you, Ezra Stewart, and your young boys, Amari Boyce, doing a wonderful job, of course, being very much a part of our group. And yes, those players are not going the big guns, so to speak. But of course, the show must go on. And the West Indies selectors, Roger Harper, lead selectors, already joined us on Mason and Guests. He's going to be talking to us very soon about that squad. In fact, the squads that were selected. First of all, we had a situation where the West Indies team, in terms of the tests, being captained by Craig Brathwaite, no stranger to captaincy, captain of the Barbados team. And we also have Jason Mohammed. He is a very experienced cricketer. He very much is going to be captaining the ODI team. We're going to look at those teams. We wouldn't want to keep the lead selector, Roger Harper, waiting. Roger, good evening to you. How are you? Season's greetings.
Good evening, Andrew. Season's greetings to you, and season's greetings to everyone.
All right, good. Well, there was a lot of speculation, as I said at the top of the program, you know, that a lot of the top players not making it, but you had to come up with a squad. How difficult it is, Roger, in coming up with these two squads?
Well, we had a few challenges, but, you know, there are a lot of players who are very desirous of having an opportunity to represent the West Indies. So while, you know, we would have liked to have all our players available, I think that, you know, these players that have put their hands up will be anxious to have the opportunity to show what they can do.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose the reasons given, I see one that for personal reasons on the part of Hetmer, Porand, Allen and Durridge, and the others saying that they don't simply want to make it to Bangladesh. That would have been the reasons that we saw in the press release coming from the West Indies. Dr. Fortezumi, Doctor, before you come in with your first question, you picked Craig Brathwaite as your captain for the test squad. What would have influenced you, Roger, to have done that?
Well, when we looked at the squad we managed to put together, I think Craig is the most senior player there and the one with the most experience, having previously been the vice captain, having captained West Indies on a number of occasions. So that was an easy fit, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that there were several people. I know my good friend Ezra Stewart there at The Nation was saying, look, we're in a bit of a crisis, and in terms of leadership, we could have maybe turned to someone like a Leon Johnson. Would he have been given any consideration at all, Leon Johnson?
Well, that, of course, was a consideration. But the fact that, you know, we had Craig Brathwaite there, mm-hmm. you know, we decided to go with Craig.
Mm-hmm, indeed. And in terms of your pick for the captaincy for the ODI, you went with someone that would have, I think, surprised some people, Jason Mohammed. What would have been the thinking there?
Well, again, you know, Jason had an outstanding Super 50 tournament last year. So with the main players being available, of course, he came into contention. And when you look at the squad, I think Jason, having captained West Indies in an ODI before, in Southampton, I think it was 2017, having been the captain of the T20 team, I think the Pakistan in 2018, brings that experience, very seasoned cricketer. And I think when you're going to places like Bangladesh, you need someone with that bit of experience who can sort of guide the young fellas. And I think, you know, that was the choice we made.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, it's all over to you, sir.
Hi, good night to everyone. Good night, Andrew, and good night, Roger.
Good night, Doctor, for season greetings.
Yes, season greetings to you. We have heard of the 10 players who opted out, but are there any other alternatives that you were desirous of picking that also opted out that made your job even more difficult? And if so, name any of them.
The players that were made known to you were all the players who declined.
Okay, so this squad represents your best alternative to the full strength squad, then?
In our opinion, yes.
Okay. Looking at the test squad, you have 6 specialist batsmen and Joshua De Silva. Is that does that leave any wiggle room for injury or someone who doesn't look the part in the initial test?
You have 6. Well, we picked a composition that we think would be suited for.
Yeah, you have Brathwaite, Moseley, Blackwood, Bonner, Hodge, and Campbell, and there's also De Silva. Oh, there's Mayers. Okay, there's Kyle Mayers there as well.
I was just going to ask if you are underrating Kyle Mayers' batting.
No.
Okay.
No. But looking at the team also, what would have been the thinking behind going with the 2 left arm spinners? And why hasn't a leg break option been looked at for the test series?
Well, Dr. Ford, I would really like to look at a leg break option, but I can't think of one for the longer version. You know, I think we recognize the potential and the potency of quality leg spin in international cricket. We're seeing it a lot in T20 and in the ODIs as well. But of course, quality leg spin is quality leg spin. And if the person is used to playing four-day cricket and can do a good job there, of course, you know, it will have an impact. But we don't seem to have anyone in our first-class setup at the moment. And that is something that we have to try and cultivate.
Okay. In 2018 and then on a return tour by the West Indies to Bangladesh, we lost both one-day series. We were beaten 2-1. And also in the test series in Bangladesh in 2018-2019, we lost 2-love. When I listened to your statement, you seemed to be rather optimistic about our prospects on the tour and these youngsters putting their hands up. What is your honest assessment of our possibilities on this tour, having lost with a full strength team the last time you were in Bangladesh and also at home in the One Day Internationals and in Bangladesh with the full strength team just in 2018-2019?
Well, Doc, I thought I'd give an honest assessment earlier. So I will say that touring Bangladesh for cricket is not easy. Bangladesh is a team that plays well in its own conditions. But I really believe that the group of players that we've put together, the squad for both the test series and the ODIs, will be very competitive and will give a good account of themselves. And I think, you know, we can come away with some positive results from this series. Bangladesh plays extremely well in one-day cricket. So the players will have to not just play well, but be in the very top of the game and make smart decisions, you know, to have a chance in the ODI series. But I really think that this team will be very competitive. I think they'll be very passionate and really want to show that they belong at this level.
Okay. There was some question about, you seem to have gone for a spin emphasis in the tests. Shamar Holder performed very well in his first test match. He's been an understudy for the top group throughout the COVID season, and he hasn't made the cut for the test. Do you think that it could be possible that we're hedging our bets on our weaker option, which is spin, rather than utilizing our stronger weapon, which is pace?
It could be interpreted that way. On the other hand, it could be interpreted that we have picked a bowling attack that is more suited to the conditions we're likely to come up against. So it's a matter of horses for courses. I think Chima Holder bowled pretty well in his first outing at the test level. And his omission has nothing to do with his ability and performance, but the fact that we are touring Bangladesh and we think that, you know, spin will play a big part. So we wanted to make sure that we were very equipped in that area.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know there's been a lot of reaction. I just want to come in here.
Go ahead.
To the non-selection of a Holder, and you know, I'm surprised because I think that this young man has bowled well, and you got to bowl in all conditions. And anyone who would have seen a Holder bowl in New Zealand would have picked him. Roger.
Well, maybe I didn't see him bowl, Andrew.
Well, but you were there.
Well, you said that anyone that saw him bowl, but the fact of the matter is, Andrew, I think a lot of people ask the same questions of a lot of people who were left out in other tours, right? Some guys did extremely well in regional competitions and they weren't picked for tours. They took much more wickets than Holder did.
Mm, I see.
Right? So what I'm saying, the point I'm getting to, Andrew, is the fact that, you know, as I said earlier, we picked a team based on the conditions that we think we're likely to face. The bowling attack is based on the conditions we're likely to face. Mm-hmm. And it is unfortunate that Chima missed out.
Mm-hmm.
However, as I said, it's not an indication of what we think about his ability and his performance in his first test. Come the international competition in the West Indies, we might look at things very different.
Mm-hmm, I see. Now, let's talk now about the omission of someone like Paul, Kimo Paul. Did he make himself unavailable? I didn't see it in the press release, but, you know, he's dropped out. He went to New Zealand. What's the situation with him, Mr. Paul?
Yes, Kimo didn't say he was unavailable, but having reflected on and his situation in New Zealand, we thought that we'd give him the opportunity to get himself fully fit, strengthen the areas, because he seems to be picking up a lot of injuries, a lot of little niggling injuries, get himself fully fit and get back to his best so that he can be ready and in contention for the international season. Because we have a lot of cricket, international cricket coming up in 2021. So he can come home, get himself in shape, strengthen up, and play some Super 50 cricket and, you know, get himself back to his best for the upcoming international season, where we have a lot of tours to the region.
Just before we bring in Dr. Ford again, Fazir Mohammed has joined us. Good to see you, Fazir. O'Shea Thomas, he didn't make the cut. What's the situation with him, Roger?
And again, you know, we thought O'Shane was not at his very best in New Zealand, not as sharp as we want him to be. And we've given him a chance to get back in shape because we'll need those guys going forward. We need him at his best. And we really want him to be the sort of attacking weapon we needed to be. But to do that, he has to be his best in terms of fitness. He has to be his best in terms of pace and control. So we want him to get in shape.
Mm-hmm. Good evening to you, Fazir. Nice to see you. And your reaction.
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening, everyone.
Your reaction to the squads, and you've got your good friend Roger Harper, the lead selector.
Indeed. Well, I know it obviously would have been a challenge for Roger and company to have so many players announce their unavailability, and it was always going to be a tough challenge in Bangladesh anyway. The last time the West Indies were there, we lost the Test Series 2-0 a couple of years ago. And now, while no doubt they'll be disappointed that some of the key men, including our regular test captain and now vice captain, will be missing with some other players. And of course, the one-day captain, Karen Pollard, together with a few others, will also be absent. So that in itself represents a major challenge. But with every challenge comes an opportunity. We saw how Joshua De Silva took his opportunity in that second test match in New Zealand. And it's really up to these players to take advantage of whatever opportunity they have. I know there are bigger issues and bigger challenges associated with player availability now because of COVID-19. Because, look, it's interesting that the vast majority of players were available to go to England, where the rate of infections is worse than it is in Bangladesh. And the last time I was on this show a couple of weeks ago, even with the presence of Dr. Akshay Mansingh, giving the reassurance of the medical team that went to Bangladesh, just the nature of the questions being asked by others in the panel suggests that there was a tremendous level of skepticism about Bangladesh. Is it because it's a third world country and we automatically believe that places like England and Australia and New Zealand are safe places to go to, and we would prefer not to go to a place like Bangladesh? So there are lots of issues tied in there. So obviously, selecting a squad, given all of those challenges, would have been difficult for Roger and company.
Mm-hmm. Any surprises, though, Fazer, when you look at it?
Nothing that really sticks out, because I think when you look at most of our players, there's an element of inconsistency that you can almost argue for and against for every single player, because I just came in at the time that Roger was explaining about the issues related to O'Shane Thomas and for him to get fitter. And it's important. And I think I'm sure that Roger appreciates this together with the other selectors, that it's important that you communicate to the players exactly where they stand, exactly what the issues are for them, either not being selected or being part of an A squad or a training squad when they might have expected to be part of the full first team. And I think that's the way to move forward, to not just let the players be aware, but let the media will be aware, to remove all the sometimes wild speculation that takes place. Because whether we agree or disagree, I think once we understand the rationale of the selectors and anyone else in the decision-making process, that goes a long way to remove a lot of the unnecessary speculation.
Mm-hmm. Doc, any further questions for your good friend, Mr.
Harper? Roger's been a difficult tenure thus far, looking at the results of the various squads and now with the probability of not doing well in Bangladesh based on our recent history in Bangladesh. How does this reflect on you and your panel, or is this a reflection of the product that we're putting out on the park that is difficult for you to make selections that give the results you'd like? I mean, how difficult is it for you?
Doc, I think you know, you said that we are embarking on a tour, we're likely not to succeed, but I think I'm filled with optimism. As Fazir said, this opportunity, adversity always presents opportunity. And I think that on this tour, we'll have some young men who will recognize that they've been given an opportunity and will be looking forward to grasping it. And, you know, certainly, it will certainly give us an indication of players that we can really look at seriously going forward. And it may force some of the other players who really might have been sitting a little too comfortably to really rethink their position and themselves and their whole game. So if it creates more competition for places, if it creates greater focus from our players, then that alone is a success. Now, I don't think we should write our team off before we get there. You know, surprises happen, and I expect the team to be very competitive. As far as selection goes, you know, we look at and try to pick what we think are the best players available and the best team, the best combination that is likely to be able to represent us as best as possible. I think as well, though, that we need to ensure that our players understand that they have a responsibility as well, you know, to ensure that they do everything that they can to keep improving all the time, you know, not turning up on tour, you know, worse off at a lower level than they left the last tour, you know, both in terms of fitness and in terms also of working on areas that, you know, they know they need to improve on. I think, you know, you don't need somebody standing over you all the time to tell you, well, listen, you know, you're having problems with A and B, so make sure you work at it. While, of course, you know, facilitating that is part of the job of your support team, your coaches and stuff. But I think it's most important and more important for the player to recognize the need to do that. If the player drives the process, it's almost guaranteed to succeed.
All right, Doc, just before you come back, and let's welcome the captain of the West Indies ODI squad, Jason Mohammed. Jason, first of all, I want to thank you for accepting the invitation to come on the show. Good evening to you, and season's greetings to you. Happy New Year. How are you?
Good evening. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're good, and you must be very good. You got fellow Trinidadian Fazir Mohammed. I'm sure you know him well. You've got lead selector Roger Harper and Dr. Andrew Ford as part of the panel. You must be quite happy with the selection in relation to the West Indies, having the confidence in you to make you captain of the West Indies team.
Yeah, of course, it's a very happy moment for me to be reselected, firstly, back onto the ODI team, and to be appointed captain. Obviously, it's a great role, it's a massive role, and it's something that I've accepted, and you know, hopefully I can do the job to the best of my ability. So I'm very happy with the appointment as well.
Fazir, and of course, Dr. Ford, you can jump in at any time and ask any questions. No doubt you're looking forward to the challenge of Bangladesh. You've got some young players. You are a very experienced cricketer yourself. Looking forward to that challenge?
Yeah, obviously it's a very young team. Most of the senior guys out, but as you said, there's a lot of young guys in there who are very talented, who have obviously been knocking on the door maybe for a year or two or a little bit longer. So it's nice that everyone has given an opportunity. Hopefully we all can grasp it, even the young ones and myself, a little bit more senior than some. So it's an opportunity for all of us, and hopefully all of us can do well as individuals and more importantly for the team.
And you know, Jason, good to chat with you, because even though we're from the same island, we hardly ever converse in any way, although you were the lead story in the Express newspapers today, talking about your career and being part of the West Indies team. Once again, no doubt, still aspiring to play Test cricket. Do you think that that's a reality? Do you think that's a realistic expectation for you to think in terms of still aspiring to make the West Indies Test team?
Yeah, obviously I've been playing first class cricket for a long time now. I think I've done fairly okay or fairly well in the last couple of years. It's always been my dream since I've started to play first class cricket to represent the West Indies at Test level. Obviously, it's still my dream. Obviously, I think I can still achieve that. I had a conversation with the selector, the chief selector, Mr. Harper, and the only thing could be hampering that opportunity is if they consider an age factor. I'm not a very old person, age 34. I'm fit. And once you perform, and I think, as Mr. Harper recommended, once you perform well, you obviously have an opportunity to represent the West Indies at Test cricket, which I think is something very pleasing that he said, because I think that's the way it's supposed to be, whether you're young or whatever age, and you're playing at the first class level and doing well. I think you should be given an opportunity. So, yeah, obviously, it's still going to remain one of my main focus, and I'm going to continue pushing hard at first class level. Hopefully, someday in the near future, I can represent West Indies at Test level.
And Jason, just on that point about age, and indeed, at age 34, it's obvious, at any age for that matter, whether you're 24 or 34, you've got to perform. You are someone who's been around regional cricket from, what, under 15 level? Now you're at senior level. You had that fantastic series, the encouraging one-day series against Pakistan in 2017. Everybody recalls that fabulous innings in Guyana, which really was brilliant in chasing over 300. But we often have these discussions on a Tuesday, Jason, about why is it that our regional cricket, we don't see our players averaging in the 40s and the 50s at first-class level. You've been around for quite a while. It'd be interesting to hear your view on that, because when you think about it, if you really want to excel at Test level, averaging in the high 20s, low 30s at regional level, but let's be honest, doesn't cut it. What do you think we need to do, or you need to do as a player to up your game so that Mr. Harper and others will say, okay, he's 34 years of age, but he's performing and we have to pick him?
I think on that whole topic, I think the most important thing is being consistent. I think it's something or somewhere that we fell along a lot as players. You know, we perform in one game and then we have two bad games and then we come back in the next game and we have a decent score. I don't think it's much the board or as a Caribbean we can do in terms of pitches or umpiring. I think it's good. It's decent enough. Just us as players need to be more consistent and that's the main factor.
Mm-hmm. I just want to come back to Roger. I'm sure that we can ask Roger a couple of selections that are quite interesting. What would have been the thinking, Roger, in terms of the selection of Akil Hossain, Andrew McCarthy, and Kejohn Ottley? Let's start with Mr. Ottley.
Andrew,
first.
If you looked at, Shai Hope has been our opening batsman and very dominant opening batsman in the ODIs for quite a while. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been very outstanding in ODI cricket, and Shai Hope is not available. So we had to find a replacement. Mm-hmm. I think Mr. Ottley had a very good one-day series, and, you know, he looked pretty good, and we thought that, you know, there's an opportunity for someone like him in the team at this time. He'd be a good fit. He's left-handed as well, which going to Bangladesh with a number of maybe left-arm spinners as well. The left-handed batsman may be a bit of a plus for us.
Mm-hmm. And what about Andrew McCarthy out of Jamaica?
Andrew McCarthy is another one, a player who's been around a while, and I describe him as a scrapper. He's a very competitive player, mm-hmm. one with a sort of a never-say-die attitude, a real hustler. And, you know, he's got pretty good one-day regional figures. You know, he bowls a bit as well. You know, so he'll make an all-round contribution. And I think with a young team, you need some seasoned players around them. And he's a seasoned regional player. And I think he'll be able to help to, you know, keep the guys together. I expect him to be the live wire in the squad.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm getting a WhatsApp message from our friends in St. Kitts. And they're ask Roger Harper, why... Mr. Powell, well, they said Mr. Powell, but of course they mean Kieran Powell, having made the most runs in the regional competition last year and also had a good time in Bangladesh, was not selected.
Andrew, you keep asking the same question again and the answer has not changed.